Hey, 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 this is the Bachelor Masters, and you won't believe it, but we are recording at a reasonable hour this morning.
And at a reasonable time in the week.
On a Tuesday.
Tuesday morning, when we need late morning, late in the morning, but in the morning.
Right. Wait, what? We were doing some group chatting last night during the episode. Me and Caitlin and Easy are here, and Easy, you weren't making sense.
Oh yes, I was.
No, you were texting gobbledygook, just like what you just said right there.
No, I was.
You were
saying,
like the Office post tweet Twitter.
If you understood the reference, then it would make a lot more sense to you. But the way you and well, there's two things at play here. One, I needed you to understand the references I was making. Number two is that I cannot rewind live TV. So anything I texted you needed to be like, okay, now I'm not concentrated on the phone. I need to go back to watching because I can't pause, rewind, you know, figure out in hindsight.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. I can pause and rewind even when I watch live, which I love because I fast forward through the commercials.
How? On Hulu? How?
On Hulu, if you start... All right, so here's my schedule when I'm watching live.
Oh, this is some
and this
deep
allows...
Hulu knowledge here.
So it's, you know, East Coast, 8 p.m. time. Is that I won't start watching exactly at 8. I'll make some food at 8. Right. Then when I sit down, I've got enough of a lead time that I can fast forward through all the commercials. And when it's live, they don't have the little breakouts for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They'll add those in the next day. Like if you watch it on Hulu the next day, it'll make you watch the commercials. But when it's live, they don't know exactly when they'll be yet, I guess. So they don't have the little like hard breaks in there. So yeah, you can just fast forward through the commercials then, as long as you give yourself at least like a 5-minute lead time on when you start, because each commercial break will be like 3 to 5 minutes.
Yeah, cool. I used to do Bachelor at 8:20. It would be perfect because then I would be able to fast forward through every commercial. But I think my problem is I don't have Hulu Live anymore.
Right. Yeah. So I paid for that, about that for Bachelor and for figure skating sports. So.
That makes sense.
Okay.
There's reasons. Okay.
All right. As exciting and thrilling as this conversation is, let's move on. Now, either what was it that you were so... you were so excited to make the reference about yesterday on text messaging.
You actually made it and you still don't get it?
Ooh. I mean, I kind of get it.
Okay, you've it's, never...
I don't see how it's that funny.
It's not that it's... They... So, Matt and Michelle went on a weird-ass spa date in, like, Amish country. And it's just like something Dwight Schrute would have made up. Like, here's this butter. Yeah, that date made, that was basically like a food fight date, right? There was no actual healing properties to
anything
they used. There was no...
Well, I could see, like, oatmeal baths are a thing, right? Like, there is some sort of property with, like, soaking in oatmeal. Yeah.
It's good
but
for eczema and stuff.
So, like, I guess it would be good moisturizing for everybody. And I'm assuming the milk bath was kind of a similar thing, that it would be, like, a moisturizing treatment. The butter, I guess, this is where it really took it out for me. Of all the dates last night, right, I thought, on the face of it, the spa date should be the best one to go on. The other two sucked. In every possible way, the day date portions were just, like, bullshit. Spa sounds great, but then they do this shit, and it's like the butter was the moment that I was like, I'm out, I couldn't do this. Milk bath, fine. Oatmeal foot soak, totally fine. Rubbing full sticks of butter on multiple sticks of butter, not even just a little butter. That's too much butter. That's not good for you, that much butter. Like, I was texting Bachelor superfan Jocelyn during this, and I said, you know, they both must have smelled like a fresh bag of, like, movie popcorn after this date.
So disgusting. And I think, Craig, you're with me on this, that it's, like, a waste of food. That bothers me on, like, just a primal level, that it's gross and weird. And, you know, in theory, all those things have something, some, you know, avocado on your face and all this stuff. But
yeah,
there is, like, you know, that are these proven things? I think we should go back to the science on a lot of this stuff. There's not, it's not actually, you know, it just felt like they threw together something and they had extra food from that morning's catering and it was gross. It looked, and then they made it look rustic, right?
Yeah, the whole thing was just, I mean, when they're like straddling each other and rubbing butter sticks on them, are we supposed to think that's sexy? It's not sexy to me.
No.
Oh, no, it was food. No. It was like that, again, like that Seinfeld where he tries to eat in bed.
Right.
It was so gross.
Yes, the sandwich in the like dresser drawer next to the
Well, my point was that it was a, you know, Dwight had a lot of little schemes to make extra money. And I thought, and
yes, I've seen the episode where they go to his farm. Mm. And okay. They stay in the room with all like the ironworks or waterworks or whatever. Water? Does that sound
yeah,
right?
It's like, I don't know.
I mean, the Office is one of those shows, like Seinfeld, you can say, remember the episode where, you know, the chicken
the
restaurant moves in next
exactly
door?
The same. The Office
and
is
you
exactly
can, and
same.
You can laugh, but The Office isn't like that. You can't say, remember when they went to the farm? It's just, it's not laugh out loud funny in the way
the
that
Office
other
is to a generation younger than you, Craig, what Seinfeld is to you or me. And no. The Office is that to me too.
I don't know about that.
I think
I don't
so.
Know about that.
It's very big right now, I'll tell you that much.
Can I tell you a quick tangent of a treasured memory of it's a Seinfeld related memory. So I grew up watching Seinfeld with my parents.
Yes.
As you all know, I am an East Coast New Yorker by birth and breeding. although I do not currently live in New York and may never again. Who knows? But when I lived in Boston for several years, I was often very miffed at the anti-New York sentiments that Bostonians hold, right? Like,
yes.
They hate New York there. And to an extent where I would meet Bostonians, like, I was a tour guide for some of my time that I was going to school up there.
Oh.
Yep. And often people would be like, oh, what part of Boston are you from? And I'd be like, I'm actually from New York. And their faces would be like, why? You know?
Right. We're getting a tour from a New Yorker?
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Wait a minute, Caitlin. How come Bostonians are just as insufferable as New Yorkers about where they're from? And they're indignant about New Yorkers?
I'd say they're more insufferable. But again, obviously I have a bias. And I loved Boston over time. I grew to love it. But the Seinfeld reference is that in the MBTA, the T, you know, the subway / metro of Boston, you know, they have ads like a lot of subway stations do. And there was an ad that went up maybe a year or two into my time living there. It was when Seinfeld started being aired, I think on Hulu. You could watch it then. Like, so it was an ad for like Seinfeld specifically on Hulu. And the they must have market tested this shit in New York and not New York, in Boston, because the the slogan for like the sign, it was like the Seinfeld logo, Hulu, etc. But the big text up top said, "Finally, New Yorkers, we love."
That's funny.
That's good.
Yeah, I think of that all the time when I think of Seinfeld. Now is just like a bunch of angry Bostonians being like, "God, we love the Seinfeld episodes, but New Yorkers just suck. We hate them, except for these ones."
Filmed in L.A., by the way.
Filmed in L.A. It's true. You can tell. I mean,
did you know this, EZR, that the exterior of his apartment building
is in Koreatown? Yes.
Is in Koreatown.
I walk by that building all the time. Yep.
you walk by that building all the time?
I mean, yeah. In before COVID, yeah. I used to walk, be like, oh, there's the Seinfeld building. You could tell.
All the time.
I don't know about, what do you mean all the time, Craig?
You
enough.
Said it, not me.
Well, when you say it like that, you're going to make me, no, not once a week, but once every 2 weeks.
You
less.
Just happen to be walking down that street
I
once
walk
every
a
2 weeks.
I walk a lot, and I have to be over there a lot, yeah, for certain meetings.
I'm starting to question some of your stories, EZR. I don't know about
why?
This.
Why? It's right there. It's
They don't have that hint of truth to them sometimes.
Because
Craig,
I walk
why
a lot?
Is this so unbelievable to you?
Yeah, why is it so unbelievable?
Because it's on a side street that you wouldn't walk down every 2 weeks.
Right? right next to there, there's a meeting place. So in Koreatown, there's not only public council that I used to have meetings at, but also the UTLA building that holds a lot of meetings. And so, yes, I would go out of my way to walk. That's a good side street to walk down. So, yes, I go to a lot of meetings. I have a lot of things to do in Koreatown.
Not to mention,
other things that are private. But yes,
wow. We're learning so much about EZR and me on this episode, you know, that I lived in Boston and worked as a tour guide, and that EZR loves walking in Koreatown.
On side streets in Koreatown.
What do you mean side streets? Well, okay, Craig, I think you underestimate how much I am out and busy most of the time. That's why I'm like...
Even during COVID? During COVID. Yeah.
No. Okay.
Right.
But normally, I'm barely home. Anyway, right. Guess what? Casting in... you know what? It's worth going into, but maybe not today, why you're so shocked at this. I am...
I'm not saying that you aren't. It's just the way you put it. You're like, oh yeah, I walk by that building all the time. It's
oh, okay.
All right. No, I believe that you're out and about. I know you. We're friends. I get that you go out a lot. You're what's called a flaneur. Do you know what that word means?
No.
It means you like to walk about the city. Is that Caitlin? Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I can barely remember what flaneur means. I just remember hearing it so much. And I took a art history class in undergrad that was specifically about impressionism. And they were like, flaneurs.
Yeah, it would be a very impressionist thing to do. Yeah, that's a term of endearment, EZR.
Thank you. Anyway. They're casting AARP Bachelor again, huh? With their COVID shots.
Well, hold on, because you just watched the live feed last night. You haven't been watching the live feed all season. They've been advertising Senior Bachelor the entire time.
Oh, well,
yeah. They have, and I am... I think I'm still doing this. I'm trying to get my mom to apply. I looked at the questions last night. That's how serious I am about this. First of all, she's single. She's 66 years old. She's retired, and she just got her first COVID shot. She's ready.
What are the questions? Give us the juiciest, best question.
There's 70 questions.
What was life like without water? Running water?
No, they don't ask you that, but you do have to give.
Tell us about the invention of electricity.
So far, I haven't gotten to any of those. They do ask some very personal stuff in terms of... So it talks about, have you ever been married? And you, write dates and stuff. It asks what dates your divorce was finalized, if you're divorced. And then it asks you to explain why your marriage broke down.
Ooh.
And I was, filling these out as my mom at first. And it was the thing I wrote in that box is basically just, we have very different personalities and argued about money. Also, kids are hard.
I would just write it as her and try to be as difficult and, fight starter-y as possible.
That's not a bad strategy, because honestly, obviously I love my mom and we're very close as adults. My mom would be a villain on The Bachelor. Absolutely. She is extremely loud and judgmental.
Yeah, but every old person that's going to be on that show.
That's what I was thinking too. I'm like, isn't every... Can you imagine the type of fights they would have? They would totally be about status, class. They don't live in that retirement community in the Florida Keys or whatever.
The villages in Florida.
Yeah, villages. They do ask you to explain on the questionnaire both how you get your money currently and how much money it is that you make per year. That's on there.
Are you on a fixed income?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And I was kind of she's retired. It's like a pension is how she gets her money now. I don't know if that's rich enough for the Bachelor taste, honestly. But she does have a noticeable New York accent, which could be fun on the show.
She's got to go on. That'd be great for our podcast.
I keep on telling her, I was like, listen, we're going to get you on there, Mom. And she was just like, why? And I was like, you're single. You haven't dated in years. And listen, she is for a 66-year-old woman. She is 5'10". She's very slim, blonde, blue eyes. probably a catch for that age group.
Right. Yeah.
I have no idea what's a catch for that age group.
No idea. Tell me either.
No, like it can't just, it can't be looks. It can't be, like, you know. Anyway.
You know that's going to be in there though. But yes, they do have commercials for that. I did notice last night though, one of the commercials for it that I caught during my fast forwarding said specifically asking men to apply. So my guess is that they've got a lot of good women candidates, but they don't have a lot of good men.
I can see them doing something like mixing the two shows. Like there's one bachelor and one bachelorette and a whole bunch of men and women. I could see them doing that as opposed to just sticking with one.
Well, and then, I thought that was specifically for the regular bachelor, not AARP bachelor.
Oh, is that what you meant? Oh.
Okay. Yeah, I think... My thought is that it should be like Bachelor in Paradise for the Bachelor Senior.
Because, yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah,
because you get a good amount of both men and women on it then instead of having to choose a single lead.
Exactly.
Well, we already have that. It's called The Villages. Anyways.
Izzer, do you have any listener review music?
No, not precisely. I have songs that we've used before on The Bachelor that you can sing on top of.
Yes, we'll get to that. I just meant like intro music.
Oh, well, let's get to this episode first and then you can go ahead.
No, we gotta do this at the beginning.
What?
Because it's super important that people left us reviews. I think we should do it now.
Ah, the episode, Craig. Fine. Okay. Go ahead. Talk about our listener drive.
So we did a listener drive. We prompted people to leave reviews and to tell their friends. And it happened. We're so excited. Despite EZR's complete dismissal of this bit we're doing, this actually worked. So Jocelyn, Bachelor Master Superfan, we mentioned this last week. She had texted a friend to listen to the Bachelor Masters and then sent us the screen grab of that. So thanks, Jocelyn, and happy birthday once again.
Oh, yeah.
And then out of the blue, on the Apple Podcast app, we got a review from Mary. Should I read it?
Okay. Yeah, I'll play music. Go ahead and start.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm not hearing any music.
I'm waiting for you because it's short.
Oh, okay. It's titled, Why I Listen. I can't do this without you starting the music first. No.
Oh, okay. I'm ready. I only have like 3 songs, Craig. Okay, I'll
do you have something like fairy tale like?
Oh, okay, yeah. I have here what's titled generic romantic music.
Perfect.
Ready? Oh, perfect. And...
Yeah, play that.
Okay, and go. But it's short.
Okay, play it. I like your podcast for many reasons. I enjoy your easy banter, your often out-of-the-box ideas, lack of allegiance to Bachelor production, your psychological perceptiveness, your humor, and the music you begin and end with is fun. I'll write again when I think of more reasons. Thanks for all, Mary. Isn't that beautiful?
That was a nice review. That was really good.
Yeah, I didn't want people to be so nice to us. Now, I don't deal well with nice.
Yeah, that was really sweet. I feel like that was such a nice review. I love that she closed it by saying she would write again when she thought of more good reasons. Right.
Mary, you rock wherever you are. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. It really means the world. We've said this before when these things happen. We don't do this for money. We absolutely don't do it for money. And we do it just so we can get nice reviews like that. Okay. There's one more. Now, this one doesn't have a name. Oh, you said it was called Remy, right?
Yeah. I got it. A screenshot. Someone sent me a screenshot of a review.
Okay. We think this is on CastBox, but we're not sure. But it's by Remy. Okay. Play the music.
I only have 3 choices, Craig. Sorry. Go ahead.
It's so quiet. Can you turn it up?
Oh, I'm trying to turn it down so you can speak over it.
Oh, there we go. That's perfect.
There we go. Okay.
I wouldn't normally write a review, But this podcast is that good, people. This isn't your typical what happened on the show or a waste of your time like other Bachelor podcasts. Although they do have a fashion segment if you're into that. I finish each podcast feeling like I learned something insightful about the show itself. Absolutely give it a listen.
Okay.
Isn't that beautiful?
Wow. That was really nice.
Yeah. Thanks, Remy.
Look at all these people being nice to us.
Oh, after all we try to do to make sure people are mean to us. Nice to
I know. Jesus. Remy wants to, I think I told Craig this, but Remy wanted to add that our fights crack him up. Our uncomfortable fights that for me are not uncomfortable. For me are my fun. Crack him up. So
yeah, I never thought of the fights as uncomfortable.
Oh
no, we say a lot that the podcast works best when we're arguing. That's always been a thing. I mean, EZR and co-host Chris used to have some epic arguments over like David Lynch movies and stuff.
Yeah, personally, my favorite part of our podcast is when EZR and I make fun of Craig.
I think that's what he was referring to when he said that it cracks him up because we're always, look, I'm always.
I'm happy to be a punching bag if that's the role that I need to take in order for this podcast to work. All right. There. Now, we did promise songs. I have an idea of what we can do, but let's do it at the end. We said that if people leave reviews, I'll sing a song. Mm-hmm. And let's save that for the end. Give people a reason to listen all the way through.
Okay. Okay. All right. You ready?
I think we're ready.
All right. Mm-hmm. Caitlin, how did you feel about the dad thing now?
Ooh. Oh, boy. I mean, I've got... Okay. So, you know, last week I had said that I thought that they might be blindsiding Matt by having his dad show up. It was the opposite. They were blindsiding dad. Matt knew about it. I will say, it seems to me that this conversation was important to Matt because he brings it up to every single one of the women on their dates, right? When they talk about, like, his feelings and his readiness for commitment and stuff like that, to every single one of them, he says pretty much the exact same thing about how he felt like he needed to have a conversation with his dad in order to get over some issues that he had had about like commitment and marriage and things around that. And then he had the conversation and that's great. Right. So I feel like the way it read to me is that Matt wanted this conversation, that Matt's dad did not know it was going to go the direction that it went in. But I also just felt like it made me feel like a little creeped out that we were watching it. Like I felt uncomfortable watching because I was just like, this seems so private on the one hand, you know, and then like when his dad starts crying, I just felt so bad for them. And then also that like outside of it seeming like a thing that maybe we shouldn't even be seeing, you know what I mean? Like they could have had a version that was just for TV and a version that was just for them, but I doubt it. It seemed like a thing you should not do on TV. One, like that should be behind closed doors with you and your family members figuring your shit out, not on national television, in part because of the fact, and this is something like I texted y'all stories about this, that like there are folks talking online, particularly Rachel Lindsay, talking about how this conversation and the way that it was aired very much feeds into the stereotype of like absent Black fathers, and that that feels particularly gross given how bad The Bachelor is about race in general, how bad they've been this season and recently, that like, yeah, it's complicated because it is Matt's experience, right? That his experience is that his dad felt very absent to him. But it does very much feed into this view of Black fathers that, like, Republican white America certainly has.
Okay. Now, I think I'm going to disagree with Rachel Lindsay a lot. Not necessarily with her, everything she said, obviously. There's some truth to what she said. But I think it can go to a farther level than that. And I think I'm going to disagree in general here. Matt, yeah, same premise, though. Matt lured him there, wants to clear the air on TV. I think the way Matt did it was smart. And here's a here's a word I never, ever use. Brave. Super brave. I don't use that word because I don't quite get it. And I don't think it's applicable often. But I really thought it was applicable here. And yes, it was more exploitative of his father. Who in this clip is passive aggressively accused by Matt. And then, is trying to... So Matt is passive aggressively accusing his dad of all these things. Of not being there, of not being present, of not helping him out, of everything. Of cheating on his mom. Mm-hmm. And then he... and then he has to just kind of circle back and say, no, it was you. And his dad wanted to avoid it. His dad wanted to not be accused.
Coming out here, yep. There's a lot of stuff I was nervous about, like commitment and it's something I'm ready for.
I don't see you have problems with that.
He's like, well, yeah. It's, yeah.
You're gonna be great.
Thank you.
Yeah, you will.
Yeah. It's for me... I want to have a family, and I want to be a dad. I want to be a father.
Wonderful.
And what that means to me is showing up, having tough conversations, being there, and I'm getting emotional.
Journey.
Because I'm thinking about my life and the things that I feel like I've missed out on. Because I guard my heart and I guard my feelings and emotions because of what I've been through with you and what I've been through with our family.
You can't do that. You got to let that go and just open up, man.
Well, I think part of that for me is having this conversation with you because it's not something that we've talked about, you know?
Right, in a very long... Yeah.
What about Journey? What? What'd you say?
Oh, well, he was just using bachelor speak.
Oh, I see it.
Journey. But wait a second. What part of that was passive aggressive?
Well, he's saying things like, I would want to be the best father I can be. I'd want to be there for my kids. Basically say you weren't.
Well, that's a way. Yeah. That's a way to, you're supposed to speak in I's, right? You're not supposed to say you because that's like accusatory.
Well, the thing is he is accusing him. That's passive aggressive. He's accusing him without saying.
You. Yeah. I don't fault him for that.
I'm not faulting him.
I wouldn't fault it either. It's like a setup.
No, he's passive aggressively saying, he's trying to get his dad to get there without having to say that. And I think that's what is brave to me, because the best way to corner someone sometimes and get answers. And so here's where I really disagree about or here's where I mostly disagree is that you can't have those conversations behind closed doors because you won't get the other person there. You have to do something like that. That's true almost all the time. As much as we would like to have, you know, some sunny retreat where we're going to go to talk to our family members that have hurt us and like get it all out, that's not going to happen with someone that's evasive. So he needed to do it this way. I agree with Matt.
Mm-hmm.
And before, so I've seen this happen with a lot of parents and their kids before a certain age. It's hard to have that conversation because you're not equals and there's fear there. And then after the fear, there's an age range where you're just going to cry every single time. And Matt is still on the verge of crying and he still powers through it. And I think that is so, there was no other way to do that. I don't think that the whole conversation was had in front of the camera. I think we saw kind of a pantomime of it. But it was still there. So basically, the dad had no idea how to express his love or how to spend time with them. And so he had to. I want to say that this happens to kids, even who have their parents around. Confronting parents is huge. And where I can give the dad a lot of credit is that it sounds like I've known a lot of parents that have traumatized their kids, and it's because they themselves went through traumatizing things, war, starvation. I mean, whether that's actual, like, you know, war or whether it was just growing up in a survival state And then I know some parents that want to blame their upbringing that wasn't so traumatic, them just being selfish. I believe, Craig, yes, believe, that Matt's dad is the former. He went through something traumatic, and he had no way except to pass it down because he had no way to deal with it. That's why, to me, it's deeper than just the, fathers, here's how we portray fathers. This is, I think, a little bit harsher than that. And it was because it was interesting to watch in that way.
Can we address a few of your points?
Yeah.
Or do you want to continue on?
I just want to say one more thing. Okay. So I guess my last... if I'm going to bring it, well, you know what? I guess I'll round it out once you guys address my points.
Well, now I forgot what they were. Mm. No, just kidding.
Okay.
I thought that the dad did an interesting and commendable, maybe that's too nice a word, commendable turnaround halfway through. I mean, he started off defensive, like I think any person might be in a situation. He's probably on camera for the first time in his life. You know, you don't know what me and your mom went through and stuff like that. But then once Matt explained it, the dad actually turned around and started listening, not interrupting, and saying, "You're right. You're right. I want to know how I can support you. You know, you're a great man, blah, blah, blah." So I thought the dad handled himself pretty well. And so, you know, I thought because he came across that way to me, I don't feel how this was necessarily exploitative. But beyond that, like just thinking about it, should these be airing on TV at all? I think I disagree with you, Caitlin. I mean, when we have shows like... Intervention, you know,
right,
which shows someone like huffing paint canisters and turning into like the devil and having to confront their family on national TV. I don't think it's that bad to watch a father and his son reconcile for a little while on a main network. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think that, like, I don't know, it's complicated for me thinking through this in terms of, I think you're both right that I think Matt and his dad both handled the conversation pretty well in terms of like you were saying, EZR, when Matt was trying to set it up to be like, I want to be the kind of father and husband who like never cheats and is always there for my family. And it's like, yeah, his dad was not picking up the hint that that's the moment for him to come in and be like, because I did those things, you know what I mean?
Right.
So Matt did need to get a little bit more aggressive to be like, this is how your actions made me feel. And like, why I worry about this is because this is what I felt growing up. And that is undoubtedly very hard to do. I think something else that popped out to me when you were talking about kind of this concept of, you know, people who have gone through incredibly traumatic things often will pass that down. And in particular, talking about Matt's dad mentioning that his own father was murdered when he was 5 years old. I think it's also something I thought about with that is that people in that generation, like essentially like my parents' generation, were not getting therapy the way that we are now, right? That like, I feel like the social acceptability of saying like, I have issues and I need to talk them out and I might need medication for them is something that is so new that that even like talking to my mom about this kind of stuff, she finds it so shocking that I'm very open about being like a person who's in therapy. And I'm like, I'm super open about it because like it's normal and fine. You know what I mean? That I'm like, oh yeah, I tell my students when I'm teaching class that like when they come to me saying like they're having issues of depression and anxiety, I'm like, dog, me too. And I go to therapy for that. FYI, it's normal what you're feeling. Like lots of people have these issues. That's not at all the culture that people of that age group of like Matt's dad and my own parents were in. It was very much a, you know, you do your stuff internally or not at all. You shut it down. You know what I mean? Like it's So it's just totally a different mindset, I think.
Matt's dad grew up in Africa. We don't know what country. We don't know what the conditions are. But I think that's an even more important layer than just an American upbringing. Because I have lots, I know lots of parents that have grown up in all kinds of, you know, all over the world who are, have intergenerational trauma from a past war, whether that's a developed country or not. You know, my mom grew up in a country that her mom survived the Civil War, and her dad too, met because of the Civil War. And that's her, she had intergenerational trauma because of that. So I think that this is even deeper than just like an American, like, you know, oh, you know, we grew up in the 50s where you didn't do that. No, this is like even harsher.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that's important to point out. Probably, right? Probably. I don't know what country in Africa.
And Matt understands that because he brings it up.
He totally understands that. And I think he, and that's why I'm impressed that his dad is so understanding of Matt's hurdles. He's equating Matt's hurdles to his own, even though if you look at just probably the checklist, Matt's dad probably went through a lot harsher things than Matt did. So yeah. I think that's important to note. And, you know, if we're going to bring up, like, to contrast it with someone like Bree's mom, who had a kid at a young age and I'm going to say did not raise her child. At some point, if you make adult decisions as a young person, you have to worry about those adult decisions. Even though you are not culpable, Bree's mom is not was not culpable at 13 years old for making that adult decision. But you do have to worry about that when you get older. And this is Matt's dad atoning or being very, very conscious of how his decisions as a young man affected Matt. Now, if we wanted, you know, I think that I, even though I normally like having an ex-contestant be the bachelor, and this is not what a lot of people believe right now, but I think we really got to know Matt this whole season, how he's honest and dorky and he harbors this sadness, but he's so smart and he works on himself. I love that they chose this man. I don't think they saw all that. I don't think anyone could, but they chose a great bachelor in a lot of ways. And it does come through, through all these little things that have been happening. So I stand against all of Bachelor Nation saying that we don't know him. I think we do know him. And to like light, to end this conversation and kind of lighten it up and you guys can have the final word. This reminds me a lot of Justin Bieber's dad. Who is now like a hanger-on of his own son's success. And I feel like Justin Bieber himself is luring his dad in with like party and monies because he wanted a dad around and never got to have a dad. And both, and just in case of Matt and Bree, like their kids, Matt and Bree's parents are seeing that their own kids have lucked into fame. And they're kind of trying to hang on to it. That's the way it feels, that the parents are like, oh, so even though I did not maybe do a great job,
I think like, I feel like that how way they turned about out. Bree's mom, but I don't know if I feel that way about Matt's dad yet.
The only reason I might feel that way about Matt's dad is because why else would you want to go on how else could they have gotten him on TV?
Money.
That's the same. I feel like success can be measured in many ways, Craig.
Well, I don't know. I think you can accept, I don't know, $10,000
have the biggest mistake of your life exposed for all of America.
I wonder if that's in the contract you sign. They're like, here's the money. We are going to talk about every bad thing.
It is. If you read the book, the Bible of the Bachelor, you know, Bachelor Nation, if you read the book, she lays out what's in the contract. And there's like stipulations like, you know, we have full discretion to lay out any part of your life. You know,
right.
I'm sure it's all in the contract.
Oof.
But that said, I think you can accept a lump sum payment, do a bit like this, and then not wanting to go on to fame and fortune afterwards.
No, I'm not saying they want it. I'm saying their kids have become successful and they can hang their hat on that.
Don't you think? I don't know. I kind of got the sense that Matt and the dad may not really get to know each other beyond the show.
Right.
Like this wasn't the first step.
This is closure only. Yeah.
Yeah. Like they might hang out, but this is really it.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if I'm right or not. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just, that's the sense I got.
Right. I agree. He could be potentially like a good grandfather. If it comes, right. You know, once they get there, but right. And the time in between, there's not going to be a lot of.
This is something I've seen before too, where a lot of folks talk about if you have a bad parent, sometimes they are a great grandparent just because they're older. You know what I mean? Like, so they, and it's not the same level of responsibility involved.
Yeah, tell me about it. Don't get me started on my dad.
Tell me about it. I can't wait till I'm a grandfather.
I fear getting old. Let's not talk about that.
No way. Okay. We can move on to Bree or Michelle. I mean, there's just not that much.
You don't want to put the pin on the dad?
Yeah, that is.
To use your term, put the pin on it?
Go.
Well, I don't know. I feel like we need closure to our statements on closure.
Mm-hmm.
We need one more wrap-up sentence to really put the button on it.
Stop that. Did you look it up and you know that it's not a word? I mean, anything to say that we haven't already said?
Caitlin. Mm-hmm. So, was it exploitative or not?
I don't know, honestly. It's still like, the whole thing was odd to watch, no matter what. It's hard to say. I mean, I guess what would make that known is like if Matt would publicly speak about like how did he feel about what they aired and was it what he wanted or was it not what he wanted, like that kind of thing.
Okay, well, the only thing I really have to say about the dates is that we never got to see Rachel's morning after.
Yes, I thought that too.
What the hell?
I wanted to get to Rachel at the end since she was last, and it was very, very important that she was last because this is her saying, well, Matt's all sexed out now. What am I going to bring to the table?
And I love it. It's even more fun because we know they're back-to-back nights, you know? They may not be, but we see them in we see the girls gather.
Right, right.
In the room.
One comes home.
One comes home, the other leaves to get ready.
Yeah, but okay, so here's her.
Let me tell you, as a man.
Innuendoing, huh?
As a man, and not a 18-year-old man could probably do it easily, but it 3 nights in a row is tough.
Yes.
That's it? You don't have anything to say to that?
Let me play you Rachel.
Matt is young, though, right? Like, he's 28? So
that's not that young.
It's not that young, but it's not Craig age.
Hey. But I can see Rachel's concerns. It's like, he's worn out.
So here is Rachel's concerns, because she slowly starts to unravel the innuendo. At first, she's unraveling herself, right? She's like, oh my God, they're coming home and they're so happy. Oh, and then she finally gets to say it, I think.
Are you excited for your date, Rach?
That's Bree.
Yeah, but of course, like, I'm getting in my head about it just feeling different. Because he's
feeling
already
different.
Been through so much this week.
Ah!
I think that's like the biggest fear in my mind right now. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's just scary. I think I'm just really feeling the pressure about our time together. It hurts seeing how they feel, seeing how they felt the morning after and hearing what they both had to say. I'm worried about how he feels, what he's thinking.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I'm freaking out.
Freaking, I'm freaking out.
Yeah.
I am freaking out. That's a sign. When he's on the airplane. All right.
I was trying to think whether this is an immature concern, but it's not. I think the immaturity came when she did need reassurance from him, but it's totally fair to be upset that someone else is having sex with two other women that you are in love with.
Yeah, it's not great. And it was kind of funny when Michelle came back and then Bree came back, and I'm like, why would you even ask them what they did on the date? You don't want to know. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, so how was it? What did you do? Yeah. And I'm like, just don't ask for any details. Be like, that's great. I guess I'm going to go get ready now where I compartmentalize that this just happened.
So this famously also happened on Peter's season.
Yes. Because they made them all stay in the same hotel room then.
Yeah.
It also happened on Tayshia's, where Brandon, we were led to believe that he freaked out and kind of didn't do it. Do you remember? Brendan, excuse me.
Yes. Yeah, where they also all had to see them coming back from their overnight dates and their family dates and all that kind of thing. Which, yeah, it just seems super awkward when you're like, well, I see you just had sex with Matt. I guess it's time for me to go get ready for my sex with Matt date.
Yeah, it's rare that someone doesn't get affected, and that's why they set it up this way. But we have also seen almost fights. I don't know if you remember that, but of course Nick Viall was involved with Caitlin, and then also JoJo. I think her two dudes got in like a fight over it, and it's never about what it's about. The fight is always covered up with some other reason, but it's always about you already had sex with her, and I haven't even had sex with her.
We know how much you like talking about sex, easier.
Well, I'm just saying that it's rare for them not
easier.
To feel
what do you think happens when they go into the room and the cameras are See? Off? What do you think is going on in there?
This is fine because I know that it's just sex. What bothers me is when they say they didn't have sex and are all smiley, and I'm like, what?
Right.
Tell
yeah,
me what
did
like,
they do?
It's confusing. Yeah, what are they doing? Craig, you agree, right? Like, in a certain way, right? Okay, good. Okay, so here's the only interesting part I found, because like you said, Craig, in a tweet, you know, it was a very boring episode, except for the dad part. I'm guessing you meant that. Yeah. And according to your science, Bree was the sex pick.
Yes, she was the, I'm picking you third so I can have sex with you pick.
Yeah, but I'm going to kind of argue that Michelle was the lust pick.
Ooh.
Michelle was first, which kind of implies to me that it's his carnal reaction. He can't figure it out. And if there's anything I'm critical about Matt James on, is that him possibly not picking Michelle as his fiance is a big deal to me. But I'm also going to preface that now by saying that that happens to all of us. We have all met people we would date if we were still us, but raised differently. And I think he really likes Michelle, but can't figure it out. And he has a lot to figure out other than just why he can't be with Michelle, obviously, with his dad and his mom and all the, he has so many things going on.
Well, didn't we decide a few podcasts ago that it's because he wants to be an influencer and Michelle has no way of being an influencer because she is a school teacher in Minneapolis?
That's kind of where you landed. I'm landing on something a little different. I think it's there, but yes, it's a little nuanced. It has to do also with her being Black.
Go on.
I think that's it.
No, I know what you're saying, EZR. I think there is, particularly given how Matt was raised, right, that he's mixed white mother, Black father, that's sort of a pattern that you see, that there is this sense, especially also in, like, being raised in the South, that, like, young, pretty white wife is like a aspirational thing that they might not even know they're doing, if that makes sense. Like, this might be unconscious for him.
Yeah, I can't really blame Matt for, you know, how his mom raised him. But I do think that Michelle was the lustful pick. And he didn't know how to, like, you know, look, Bree is young. Bree is beautiful. They get along sexually great. She's also a sexual pick, but she doesn't have the depth to him that Michelle has.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is the key here to it being the more, the charged sexual pick.
Mm-hmm.
So I sort of agree, but I think my reading on what's going on with this top three selection is that if Serena P hadn't taken herself out of contention, I don't think Bree would have made it at all. Because based especially on like the women tell all and Matt's reaction to being dumped and all of that, I think Serena was like, it seemed like she was going to be in the top two for him. And then she leaves. So most likely what I'm thinking then is if Serena hadn't chosen to leave, the top three would have been Serena, Michelle, Rachel. And Michelle would have definitely been more of the lustful pick then. But because she leaves, he automatically takes Bree, who he also likes and gets along with. So it's to me, it's less of him being like, I'm just saving Bree for the sex, and more like, well, I didn't get the outcome I necessarily thought I was going to get. But Bree is a good option and I like her, so let's just go for it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I totally think that Michelle would win if he could only get farther than his own dream.
Yeah, because Michelle is so clearly the best match for him. Like, just seeing them interact with each other, you're like, this would make sense. This seems like it makes perfect sense. And even, I thought it was cute at the end of their date, she's walking out of the building, you know, and he calls from the balcony window, like, Michelle, and then blows a kiss at her.
Yeah, to me, she's, unless the show fixes it, she would have been in the top two anyway, no matter what Serena did, no matter what Sarah did, even. I think she just makes perfect sense to his soul, but no sense to his societal role.
Okay.
Well, that's just my thinking. Anyway, okay. So I think we're done here, except for fashion and whatever you promised.
There is a lot of fashion to get to.
Oh, really?
Okay. Don't you think, Caitlin?
There's some. I didn't write down as many outfits for this one. I mean, I have one notable outfit that I was like, well, that's ugly. But
All right, let's hit it.
This is the fashion roundup. Craig likes to talk about the people they're wearing.
I liked Matt's brownish suit that he wore at the very end.
Oh, I didn't even notice that suit.
Yeah. It was like rusty. It was like brownish rust colored. And it was all throughout. It was the suit and then his tie and his undershirt. It was very cool. And I'm not a big suit guy, as you know.
Yeah. we saw this is fashion? You guys tell me. We saw Matt's nipple on Bree's date.
Oh my God. I did notice that because I don't know if I wrote this down in my notes, but yeah, the morning after portion of the Bree date, when they're sitting in bed and she is making like sexy talk to him. And I was just like, oh, I feel uncomfortable. I don't want to be witnessing this.
That shouldn't be aired.
So she's making like sexy talk and double entendres to him and she's stroking his nipples.
Was that the one where they started making eggs and stuff? Or was that with Michelle?
Oh, yeah, I think
it was the same one. I'm trying to remember what the egg. I think that's the same. Well, I'm not positive, though.
Matt is so ripped, you know, or he's so muscly. But then his nipple looked like a lactating mom. Maybe that's just me and my lactations. But I was like, how come it's so roundy, you know?
I also clocked. I was like, oh, he's got pretty large nipples. I mean, I guess it makes sense in context of like his whole body is big, right? Like he's tall and he's ripped and all, so like presumably his nipple size matches up with that. Male nipples are always weird to view because you're just like, what's the shape of that thing? What's going on there? Why does this even matter? Why am I looking? You know?
Oh, why am I looking is my number one problem here. I'm like, what am I doing? What's going on? Why are they showing it?
It's because you're a cis hetero female.
No, I have no attraction to male nipples. I don't think any woman does. I mean,
no,
maybe
I
there's some
don't
there's
at all.
Out there. But it's you have to look. You have to.
It's being shown to you. You got to look at it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. This reminds me of I don't think we mentioned this at all in our last week's episode, but the Women Tell All clip where they show Serena P's close up of her butt getting out of like a hot tub, and then Matt gets a boner.
Yeah,
and then like Chris Harrison tries to be like, explain what was going on there. Like, like Matt's really going to be like, well, I had an erection, Chris.
That's what I would say. I mean, if I was Matt, I would just be very, because you're, why are you trying to embarrass the man? You know,
this is yeah, it was so just a weird thing to show. It's like, you could have never shown us that goof, and it would have been just fine. But yeah, I did. I noticed the nipples. I know what you're saying, UZR. One outfit I absolutely noticed because I thought it was just a bad outfit is what Rachel wore on her day date. Craig, did you clock this?
Was that the pink? Was it like a pink cardigan looking thing?
No, this is so on the day portion of her date where they do the ceramics date.
Oh, she was wearing like a jean jacket.
She was wearing an incredibly oversized jean jacket, so big that I wondered if it was Matt's and she was wearing it. Like, very, very, very large. But the top underneath was one of those shirts that's like a light green color where it's got a V-neck, but then it's got a second V coming up from the bottom hem that shows her belly button.
Mm-hmm.
So
An inverse V-neck.
An inverse V-neck that she was wearing with, like, looks like black jeans, but sort of a mid-rise jean, not even a high-rise one. So you're getting like that window of stomach area, and the whole combination of incredibly over-large jacket and like ugly shirt made me be like, what was this, laundry day? Like, why are you wearing this? This is a bad outfit.
Yeah. And she wasn't having the pottery session.
No. That's what she was like, I'm breaking down. I need my assurance.
I've said this many times before, but as a cis hetero male, there's nothing worse than being on a date where you know something is on the mind of the female you're with and they're just like not having it. That's the worst feeling in the world.
And Matt says a similar thing, right? Like Matt's to camera that they air is like, I can clearly see she's concerned about something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I noticed that outfit, because I was just like, oh, this is just a, maybe she did like had literally run out of all of the clothes that she'd worn before or something, but it was just a not cute outfit. Matt had a lot of cute outfits on this episode, actually.
Yeah, he did.
He wore on the Brie daytime date, the hiking date, he wore like a blue sweater with a turtleneck, and he had a flannel on top. That was a cute look. He was wearing a Canada Goose jacket over a yellow sweater with camo Converse All-Star sneakers on his day date with Michelle. I clocked those sneakers. So I was like, what are they? Let me take a good look at them.
Man, you got details. You got the deets.
Yes. I also thought it was kind of funny on their spa date. Michelle and Matt wore matching white bathing suits, which...
Right.
Were those provided to them, or did they both just bring white bathing suits, right, or what was the, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's not the first time he's matched with somebody. It's not the with first time
Michelle.
He's matched with her. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Maybe they literally just have the same fashion taste. And, you know, she is tall. I bet they could even swap. Like, she could wear his oversized sweaters, and it would be a cute look.
They're meant to be.
So Rachel at the very end during the rose ceremony, she's wearing like a black dress like the other two women, but she's wearing a maroon sort of dress under it. Did you catch that? It was like when you saw her from the back, she was wearing a maroon.
There was like a that. I think it was part of the same dress. It's just like a sheer panel, but the panel's in a color, if that makes sense. It's like a like a maroonish or like dark brown sheer panel on the back. I actually liked Rachel, what she wore in the evening date portion was, and Matt brought this up. He's like, oh, is that one of the dresses? And he means from their shopping trip. And
oh, she says is it that is. What he meant?
Yeah.
Oh. Good catch. Yeah, you're so detail oriented.
Yeah, that's what all my bosses say about me.
I was wondering what they, what, because she said yes, yes. And I was wondering what she said was saying yes to.
Yeah, it was it was one of the dresses that she got at the boutique. And I thought it was a cute dress. It was like a red dress with some little like flowy bits on it. It looked nice.
Yeah.
I have one fashion adjacent thing.
Go ahead.
Okay. Unless you guys have more. One of my favorite things about The Bachelor, the show, is that I think I've told you this before, Craig. The reasons I started watching was because I wanted something super American to watch when I wasn't in this country, and that's how I got into it. Okay. And also, then I kept watching it, even when I came back to live here, when, because I would come home from work, and you know how Mondays can be very existential crisis-y, like, you know, capitalism, what the hell is this? Why? I looked forward to watching because the show was so cozy. On Breeze Day, they were in this woody cabin, and the decor, the deep reds and the browns are so cozy. It's relaxing. And I really think this episode, that Bree date specifically really brought it to where it reminded me of, like, it was like Bachelor baseline. Yeah, like, this is what the show is.
Oh, that's so cute.
Is it cute? It's not meant to be. What do you mean? What does that mean? Why do you say that?
Nostalgia is not the right word for it, but something akin to being like, look at this cozy interior. Like, this is, easier. Have you ever been, I've noticed this most when you're in, like, wooded cabins in North Carolina is where I've seen it. And the decor all looks like that, but there's an addition of, like, a lot of black bears on everything, because I'll be like, welcome to the Smoky Mountains, you know?
No,
Well,
I took
have you been up to Big Bear, easier?
Yeah, yeah.
So they have, like, woody cabins there you can rent?
Yeah, I was kind of picturing that. I also went on this we called it the Ice Cold Tiki Road Trip. We went to every tiki bar in the ice during winter in Wyoming/Idaho. And we went to
back the train up here.
And it was when the Bundys had that standoff in Oregon. So we were already on our way down there. And then we saw the federal troops, and it was crazy.
you saw the federal troops this in Oregon from Wyoming?
No, we came down that way through Oregon. And it was like a standoff like no other. You know, you couldn't really go through, but you saw troops.
Wait, so how many tiki bars are there in Wyoming?
Not many. Not many, not in Idaho. We went to every tiki bar we could find, and there were a few.
Yeah.
But the best part was that, I guess, in Wyoming, you know, antlers lose their moose or what are they called? Not reindeer. Whatever they are. Deer? No. Whatever has antlers, lose their antlers.
Yes.
And so there's so many antlers everywhere that they make stuff out of
all
the
of the animals you named. Have antlers.
I know, that's why I can't think of a particular one that loses its antlers in this particular area in Wyoming. I can't picture them.
Wyoming is very beautiful. I have good memories.
Well, it was
Wyoming.
Freezing, but they had, you know, lots of structures made out of these antlers, and then they had a lot of art that was made
and
out
that
of antlers.
Makes a tiki bar.
No, I'm saying that the woody decor in that in Bree's cabin look like that to me, and that's what it reminded me of, because you asked where have you seen these cabins, and I'm saying I saw them there in Wyoming.
A friend and I did a pub crawl here in LA of now my story's falling apart, because, like, what are they called?
Oh, are you lying, Craig? Do you not?
No,
sometimes I think you're just making up stories on the fly.
What are they called?
No,
what are
Greg,
bars
no.
called when they serve fancy food?
Oh, bars.
No, like when Father's Office.
Fancy food.
Father's Office is one of them. It's called something.
Gastropub.
Gastropub. Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
We did a gotcha. Tour of gastropubs, and we took public transportation like responsible citizens.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm.
In Wyoming?
Oh no, I thought you were talking about when I go to tiki bars here. Go ahead. There's when tiki? I go to bars. Oh. I go to bars.
All right. Easier. Because
USC
you notice?
Owns its own gastropub. You know that, right?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
No, I don't know because I haven't been back. You mean on campus or off campus?
Yeah, it's like, well, it's next. It's like next to the basketball arena, right across Figueroa.
Mm. You know how like how much that
called
area
the lab
has changed?
Or something.
Yeah, it's changed a lot since I went. As
that's
you know.
True. Well, they eminent domained that whole area in order to build the basketball stadium.
To build luxury things there. Yeah, I don't doubt them. Mm. Biggest landlord. Anyway. Yeah. Go ahead, Caitlin. What were you going to say?
I was going to ask if you noticed on Michelle's day date when they were in the Shroot Farm spa that they were surrounded by stuffed antlered animals and stuffed bears.
Yeah, yeah. That it was like, yeah, but I don't know why. Was there maybe more red on Bree's date? I feel like I'm in a art class again. Where's the red, you know, the red in this paint? But I did feel the red in Bree's. Not, you guys are the art taker class takers, but like I felt it more on Breeze. But yeah, Michelle's date was, except for the gross waste of food, I thought was awesome. Like, you know, the area, the sauna looking thing they were in was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One thing we didn't talk about so far that I wrote in my notes and I guess we should bring up is the count for how Matt is still only saying he's falling in love with Rachel. When Michelle says she's in love with him, he says, thank you for sharing, which is his standard response.
Right.
When Bree says she's in love with him and she would accept a proposal right now if he were to do it, he doesn't say anything. He just kisses her.
Right.
When Rachel asks about, you know, her insecurity and whether or not he's still feeling it with her after having these deep experiences with the other women, blah, 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 he says he's falling in love with her.
Mm-hmm. I think the only caveat in this instance is that they have to say it before they go into the fantasy suite for Middle America.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
which we talk about, I feel like, every season because it's so, like, come on, you don't have to. But I'm sure because they set it up that way that, you know, they really, really sell it for the fantasy suite so that America knows that they're not just having sex with every random person, although they might be, who cares, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I think this is the first one in the last few years where I assume they all boned, whereas, like, on Tayshia's, we know her and Ivan didn't. On Peter's, we know he did with
Brendan.
Madison. Her, right. No, her and Ivan when they did their overnight.
I totally thought they did. They were in that Airstream.
Oh, they were, but I think they... I don't know. They didn't specify, but I think it was implied that they didn't, that they
right.
just talked all night.
Oh, yeah. No way. Anyway. I'm
but
not calling
I mean,
the
there's...
sex things, but I'm calling the, like, overall sex things, and I say yes.
Overall, I feel like there is often somebody in the top three who is either, well, especially on The Bachelor and less on The Bachelorette, but there is often somebody in the top three who is like, I don't do sex before marriage, so it's right. not happening.
Yeah, we didn't really have that this year.
None of them said that.
You thought it was going to be Rachel, but then she's like, but I'm so, you know, it didn't even get addressed, honestly. Like
the
religious part.
The religious part didn't explicitly get addressed, but the way she was talking about the fantasy suite made me feel like it was sort of a justification because she was saying things like, well, in my head, I already see him as my future husband. And so we can share that special intimacy that you only share with spouses.
Right. Yeah, that's funny.
So, yeah, she didn't say it was like a faith thing, but I feel like it was sort of implied that she feels okay having sex with him because in her mind, they're basically already engaged. So they're basically already married. So it's totally cool.
Right. Mental
I like the
gymnastics.
Ladder. Yeah.
So Okay, look, do you have anything else, CZR? Because we have one more thing we got to get to here.
No, I want you to do your thing, whatever. What are you talking about? Is there anything else? It's not my segment.
Oh, is there anything else, Caitlin? Because there's one more thing we got to do.
No, I think we covered all of the clothes.
Okay. Okay, singing. So this is because people left reviews and we promised that I would sing something. What I was thinking we would do is let's actually do a thing that we can make as a drop.
How about we do that on our own time?
Well, it gives us some purpose here. Otherwise, I'm just singing something random, and that's
Go ahead. Do you want the Hannah Brown music or the generic romantic music? Greg, you are the fun drive mastermind. You are the fun drive pusher honor and the sad one. So you. It's all on you by yourself.
I would like Caitlin's to point out here that we also said if, in addition to a song, the other option was that Craig could tell an embarrassing story from his past for every time we get a review.
I thought of a story, but I got to stew on it some more. It's a great story, but I got to think about how to deliver it that will make it good to other people. So I'm not ready for that yet.
Craig is embellishing. Just kidding. Craig, you have to sing. That's it. Executive decision. All right,
play something loud.
Ah! I'll just go with the Hannah Brown music.
Mary, Remy, and Jocelyn are our super fans here on The Bachelor Master.
Greg, seriously. Oh, this is turning into like a Mario song.
How was that?
That's good. All right.
Yeah. Good, not great.
I am really blown away that you think you could have been like a great singer.
If I was given lessons, I think I could have been all right.
Like how many years of lessons do you think, Greg?
10,000 hours.
You never stop learning.
Well, like it makes you think that because you like it.
I enjoy it, yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm just
like the Beach Boys, like they sing falsetto and stuff, and they I don't think had any formal training in singing. It works for them.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It's obvious to me.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, you sang your song. I think your singing worked great with our DIY podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. But I got to get back to you, EZR, with my singing clip to be inserted into the fashion roundup. I've been putting it off.
It's all in your guys' court now, but I will do. Yeah. I need, don't feel subconscious. Be like Craig, you know?
Yeah.
Listen,
like
I confidence. Don't want to like talk myself up too much, but I feel very confident that I have a better singing voice than Craig.
Oh, it's a competition now. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Sounds good. Anything else you want to sing?
Well,
you want to sing over this Megadeth clip?
They're already singing in the Megadeth clip.
Well, send me one with just the like.
Okay, look. Leave us some reviews. You know how much fun we have with them. Please, if you're listening, leave us a review. And DM us on Instagram and Twitter. We enjoy that too. Mm-hmm. Our Facebook page has been getting a few likes, which is surprising
and unnecessary. We have nothing there, but
yeah. I know. So thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week.
If you have suggestions for what Craig should do to reward you, feel free to include that.
Oh,
in
yeah.
DM or review.
Include what songs you'd like him to what you'd like him to sing about. Not with
Yeah.
Next week, last week. Woohoo. Okay, bye.
Bye.